I think that there's no question about what we call acute poverty, you know, malnutrition, losing children, you know, these kinds of deprivations, that those are really bad. So that would be something that requires policy attention. But I think in some settings where there are very low rates of that, it doesn't mean that there are not kinds of deprivation that are widely seen as unacceptable in that society, and you really do need to bring in either other dimensions or higher standards to have something that really captures what poverty is.
Can you tell me some about how that idea plays out in metrics, that sort of the existing status quo is to distill things often down to income? How did your work sort of develop to try to change that?
We first clearly want to look at other dimensions of poverty. Things like malnutrition, being out of school, having poor housing, perhaps violence, perhaps disempowerment or humiliation. And so usually one would want to measure them one by one. So you have an indicator of child mortality, an indicator of nutrition, and you feel you can see everything. One of the disbenefits or problems of doing so is that you can't see who's deprived in different things at the same time. So who is both malnourished and has a poor education and has poor housing. And when you actually look quite carefully at the redundancy among indicators, then you find that the patterns are not what you might think, because that clearly what is happening at the same time in their lives is going to shape their behavior. Clearly that means they will have different abilities to take advantage of policy interventions. If my child is malnourished, then yes, you may expect me to go to a clinic, but then if I have other things that I'm doing, I might not have the time or the ability or the permission.
Having worked in a lot of extreme poverty in your career at various times, how did you see that playing out, of people sort of making surprising decisions or behaving in ways that you wouldn't necessarily expect given the numbers that you see?
It was interesting. At a period when I just finished my doctorate, I worked in the World Bank and was in a research project that looked at culture and poverty. And we looked at a number of bank projects that had fleshed out cultural issues and so failed, because that was one of the concerns. So for example, a place that didn't understand indigenous needs to bury the placenta had seen women not attending hospitals for attended birth. Or in another place, the level of afterlife that a person attained depended on the number of cows they had when they died. They wanted to keep the cows. So exports didn't go up in the way that had been predicted.
Those cultural elements that you're talking about can be so intangible. How is it that you're still able to put a number to it? Are there sort of pitfalls to wanting to quantify it?
When you do the field work, then you very much see the limits of what you can do. There was one man, we were in Bhutan doing a field check of their national multidimensional poverty measure, which includes livestock. And there was a man who had livestock, but they felt was deprived in assets. So we were inquiring about this situation, and it turned out that he was a widow, and his cow was his best friend, and his cow didn't give any milk. And these are things you just have to laugh at and say, I'm never going to be able to measure that. You know, you are going to have inaccuracies when you really look closely. So the question is, how do you have confidence that it's good enough to do the job, which is really trying to direct policy so that it looks at the extreme suffering that very much does exist, and don't get so distracted by the inevitable imperfections that you're blown off course.